Welcome back to the Man Cave Caucus podcast. This is the Midweek Minute Edition, as you might know. And we have a special guest this week, House Speaker Pro Tem Chad Perkins. Welcome, Chad, to the Man Cave Caucus podcast.
The Midweek Minute. I like the name of that.
That's right. Yeah. I know we've had you on before at different times, but I just wanted to have you on again. And, you know, we've kicked off a new session this year. And, man, to me, it has been extremely busy, I think, for especially for a new administration year.
I go back 2 years to the first few weeks of the last session starting, right? And this has started off, I think, a lot faster. There's a lot more on the ball going, which is interesting, as you point out, because you got a brand new governor. And, you know, I frankly think, you know, you're getting bills heard and referred, pretty conservative stuff going, you know. There's some pro-gun bills. I know the Amendment 3 bill got referred, I think, this morning. And so I think that, you know, there's some good conservative things going on. There's some good tax bills going, you know, reducing certain taxes, eliminating certain taxes.
Yes.
The elimination of capital gains tax, which I've always thought was unfair, right? That you talk about something that stifles growth. Allowing Missourians to keep a little more of their money allows them to turn around and then reinvest that money. So I actually think that that ends up being a good thing. You know, I think ultimately that could end up being a net positive when it comes to revenues, when you eliminate taxes like that.
So. No, that was one of the big things, I think, and I want to talk a little bit about the state of the state and what Governor Kehoe kind of messaged. You know, as for people who don't, you know, really pay attention to these kind of things, like the state of the state address is where the governor typically kind of lays out their priorities, right, of what they want to work on in their administration and, you know, moving forward. And there were several things in there that I was hoping to hear, you know, as a conservative and, you know, thought, well, maybe we will. But, man, it was really, I think, powerful to hear those things and very forcefully, you know, very I think he articulated those things well in the State of the State address as well. But
I thought he laid out a smaller government, which I think he's going to hold the bureaucracy of the state of Missouri to account in a way that hasn't been done before.
Yep.
I think he talked about, you know, pro-life issues, pro-Second Amendment issues, tough on crime, lower taxes, smaller government. I mean, it was red meat for guys like you and I.
Yeah.
And I thought that his tone was spot on. I didn't take any issue at all with anything the man had to say.
So I wanted to go through just for the fun of it, okay? Yeah. Because sometimes people don't, you know, unless you've been here and you've kind of sit in on one of these, you know, you've got the entire General Assembly is there. So we let the Senate come into the House chamber because it's the larger chamber.
Right.
And, you know, they do their thing. You've got the pomp and circumstance, the shaking of the hands, and the governor comes in and all that. You've got guests in the gallery.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of situation with a new governor coming in, usually his new cabinet appointees are also attending, of course, you know, part of the new administration. And but it's always interesting to me to see who claps for what.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, that's right.
Did you pay attention to any of that?
Oh, I paid everybody pays close attention. And, you know, on the conservative side of the room, there was a lot of standing ovations. And on the more liberal side of the room, there was a lot of long faces.
Yes, that is absolutely right. So here's what I want to talk about. Like, so one of the big issues for as a priority for the incoming administration, and as we all know, especially if you live in one of our larger cities in the state mm-hmm. of Missouri, has been crime, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dealing with the out-of-control crime situation that's going on in these cities. And, you know, in the past, we've dealt with prosecutors that's not prosecuting criminals in St. Louis City. You know, that's been a part of it. We've kind of taken care of some of that. We got her basically taken out of office and replaced with someone who does their job.
If you don't think that the Missouri legislature, working with Attorney General Andrew Bailey in the governor's office, didn't effectively push Kim Gardner out of office, I think that's exactly what happened. I think she saw the handwriting on the wall, knew her days were numbered,
yeah,
and bailed. I think that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
I think her statement was she was going to go off to college to become a nurse.
Right.
You were the prosecutor. You're an attorney. You're the prosecutor of the city of St. Louis. Grown woman,
yeah.
Right? But I'm going to give all that up because I want to go be a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know that many people believe that. I think the fact is we kind of ran her out of office because, and by the way, something I'm proud of, because she was hands down the worst prosecutor in the country.
Oh, for sure.
And that's saying something when you have prosecutors like Alvin Bragg out there.
Right? Yes, exactly. But it was interesting. So when Kehoe, the part of his speech, you know, that dealt with crime, he made a statement kind of at the end of that where I thought it was a really good play on words. And he said, in the coming weeks, months, and years, our administration will be relentless in our pursuit to make Missouri a place where it's easier to become a cop than a criminal.
Great statement. It's a great statement. It was striking to me that the conservatives stood up and cheered, and the liberals sat there.
They sat there.
And I thought to myself,
how can you not cheer for that?
The implication is you'd rather it be easier yes. to be a criminal.
Yep.
How could you not read but anything but that?
And I think that speaks to how far the left has gone when it comes to issues of public safety and crime specifically. It's become such a political lightning rod for them that they feel like they can't even support like law and order.
Right.
Right? Simple things like law and order. You're a former police officer. Yeah. You've dealt with those kind of things. But it just amazes me how they can sit there under that. So what I did when I was like listening to the speech, you know, I'm sitting there and I just, every time the Democrats sat down on something, I would underline it. So I just went through the whole thing. Here's another one. He talked about the accountability for the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department. Mm-hmm. They sat down on that. Like, how can you not applaud greater accountability for a police force that is either doing their job or not doing their job well, which in St. Louis, we know what the issue is. The city controls it. There's a lot of corruption. There's a lot of problems with that. We're trying to say, maybe we should let the state do this and step in.
The crime issue in the city of St. Louis, and if you're a St. Louis city cop, I want you to listen right now. Folks in Jefferson City support you. If City Hall is telling you Jefferson City doesn't support you, they want to get rid of you, that's not true at all.
Yep.
That is not true at all. Jefferson City supports the St. Louis Police Department. We think you'd be better off if the city of St. Louis wasn't in charge of you. That's what we think.
Exactly. It's not that we don't trust what the officers and those in charge of the police department are doing. It's that their hands are tied by a lot of politics and corruption that's happening in the city of St. Louis.
And St. Louis is important. It's just important in the state of Missouri, right? And the folks that live in my area have every right to attend a ball game. Have every right to attend a hockey game, have every right to enjoy some of the other things that you find in a city that you won't find in a small town, right? And without the fear of being the victim of crime and nothing being done about it.
Yep.
So, I mean, St. Louis once was the great city of St. Louis. Now it's just a series of suburbs that lead to a baseball stadium.
Yeah.
And that's what it's turned into.
It's sad. It really is sad to see. Yeah. I remember going down to, you know, like the landing, like Laclede's Landing.
Oh, yeah. We used to,
going to the old spaghetti factory.
We used to go there all the time.
Yeah.
Right.
And now it's too dangerous to even go down there. Another area we talked about and you mentioned just briefly earlier is taxes. So, you know, there's a lot of us conservatives who have been pushing for basically eliminating the income tax in the state of Missouri. In fact, in my committee that I chaired for 2 years, tax reform, we passed several bills out of that committee that were completely or like phasing out income taxes for the state of Missouri. Unfortunately, the other side of the building, the Senate didn't do anything with those.
Right.
But I think the time is now. Like I feel like there's more momentum on this issue of taxes than there ever has been since I've been here in 6 years, you know, with what's going on the federal level. I mean, President Trump the other day even you know, said the words, like, I think we could look at eliminating the income tax federally, which I mean, I just wanted to jump out of my seat.
Yes.
Like, that's something that for a conservative, we've been talking about for years. Let's go to a flat tax system or, you know, a situation of sales tax where that everybody pays fairly, which I think would be unbelievably good for our economy and for our country.
The fact is we've got a really common sense elimination of capital gains that just came out of committee this morning. I think it was a 6-3 party line vote. The Republicans voted to get rid of it. The Democrats voted to keep it, right? And that would be great for Missourians. You know, you can do full-on tax reform at one moment. You can do a little incremental here, a little incremental there. But I think anything is better than nothing. And you were talking about the Senate earlier and the issues we'd had over the last couple of years. At the moment, and I want Missourians to know that, yeah, the Senate had problems in the last few years. And I don't know if it was the makeup of the members there potentially, but it seems like those problems are gone. You have got this really, really rare situation. Imagine
I don't want to jinx it.
I don't want to jinx
it's almost like we want to whisper, right?
But you've got a Republican governor, Republican-controlled House, Republican-controlled Senate that haven't spoken in years.
Right.
And that seems all different right now. I mean, the governor's office is speaking to the House is speaking to the Senate. Everybody's just talking and working together. And I think, you know who wins there? Missourians.
Exactly.
Missourians.
Well, I'll give you an example. So I'm sitting in my office doing work the other day, and somebody walks in the outer part of the office there. I didn't recognize who it was. And all of a sudden, I stand up to see who it is. It's the governor.
Yeah.
Governor walks into my office, just sits down, starts talking about, you know, some of his priorities, some of the things he thinks is important, and then says, what can I do to help you?
Isn't that wild?
It's crazy.
That
like,
has
I think
never
it's
happened.
Good governance, right?
That's right.
But I've never had that. In 6 years of being in the legislature, I have never had the governor come into my office and just want to know, like, hey, how can I help you?
Yeah.
You know, here's, you know, what's going on in your world? What are some bills that you care about? I think that's something that is going to make a huge difference because that, to me, signifies leadership. And leadership is what will make the difference for the state of Missouri. And I'm excited about that.
I think that's right. I think that Missourians are going to win. And like everything the man had to talk about, he talked about some ed reform. He talked about education. That's a great issue, right?
Oh,
that's a great issue that has been
that's another
an
one.
Issue that has divided some Republicans over the years. But I even think they're becoming, all Republicans are becoming more and more on board with that, right?
Well, you can't deny the situation we're in with education.
That's right.
Like, it's not doing a good job. I mean, not educating our children like we should be.
I think conservatives believe that the people who know what's best for children are parents.
Yes.
That's a conservative opinion. And giving parents more say in how their child is educated, who would argue with that?
Right.
And if you do, why? Why would you argue with
But yet there are people
that.
Who sit down on that, wouldn't
right.
applaud because of whatever reason. You know, that was one when we talked about taxes. So the governor said, he made this statement. He said, I hope you will work with me to help Missouri families secure a better future for themselves, a future with no income taxes.
Yes.
And the Democrats sit there and wouldn't applaud that. Like, I'll never understand, which, you know, we get it. Like, there's this political back and forth, and they've got to make this grandstand show of things, you know, to make it look like that they're in opposition to what the Republicans are doing. But, like, in the real world, everyone wins.
That's right.
In that situation.
And if you're a voter, you got to question, well, why am I electing someone who thinks that I should have less of my money?
Right.
You know?
Well, and thinking that the government knows better when it comes to your
That's
money
right.
or your children,
yeah.
right? And that's something that, as a conservative, we're always beating the drum about. It's like, look, the government doesn't do a very good job of much of anything, but especially spending your money and especially raising your children.
That's exactly right.
Right. So any time that these bills come up where it's like, let's you know, give more of our power to and authority to raise our children to the government, I'm like, I'm always a no. Because, again, it's not going to turn out well in most of the cases in that kind of thing. Here's another thing he talked about. He talked about the foundation formula, like realizing that we need to rewrite the foundation formula for public education.
I was
education.
Excited to hear that.
Yeah, it's huge. Like, and that's a monumental task. I get it. I think it's something that will take the right people, and it'll take some time to do.
But
it's been years and years since they have revisited that, and it's showing in our budgets. It's showing in our outcomes, and we need to do something about it.
I loved when the governor said, and he said it multiple times yesterday, but he said it regarding this issue in particular, I want this done like business over the course of months, not over the course of years.
I love that statement, and he used that several times.
Yes.
Business.
Yes.
What was the actual term he used?
Like because
business,
you know,
speed.
Because in the government setting, even in Missouri for years, and certainly in other parts of the country, if you're a bureaucrat, there's zero accountability for doing nothing at all. And that's not how it works in the real world.
Exactly.
You know, in the real world, you get promoted based on your abilities and your qualifications and how well you do. In a bureaucracy, the bureaucracy only exists to feed the bureaucracy. That's the only reason, you know, if government workers, if bureaucrats, right? I'm not talking about the blue collar guy working on the road, but a bureaucrat, if they were really good at their job, there'd be fewer bureaucrats.
Yeah.
So they're like incentivized exactly. not to do things.
Yep.
It's a ridiculous way of running a government.
And it happens all the That's time right. in government. I mean, we know the federal government's worse, but still, even the state of Missouri That's right. has a lot of room for improvement in those things. Here's another statement he made. He said, I've said it before, we must commit to teaching our kids how to think, not what to think.
Oh, yeah.
He said, because in Missouri, we educate, we don't indoctrinate.
I loved it. Fantastic.
But yet, the Democrats sit on that.
That's right.
How can you... So to me, the antithesis in saying I don't support that is saying we want to indoctrinate.
Mm-hmm. That's...
Which...
That's the only logical explanation for sitting down on that.
It's almost
it?
Like, well, I appreciate you being that, honest for what we knew all along.
Missouri but. State University has a new president, and Dr. Biff Williams, who's new to Missouri State in the last 6 months. There was a little news that came out last week that Missouri State was still spending $800,000 on different DEI programs.
That was my next thing to talk about. Yes.
Well, that's great timing. Dr. Williams just left my office. And he announced to his entire staff this morning that their DEI office was shut down. It would not be opening back up. It would not be coming under a different name.
Mm.
That the DEI programs at Missouri State University are done and over with.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And that is because, again, the momentum of what is happening, President Trump has talked about DEI. Senator Schmidt has talked about DEI. Senator Hawley's talked about DEI. We have been, some of us have been talking about it even longer than them, right? Right? I've had bills filed on DEI for the past 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. Trying to say, look, ringing the alarm, this mm-hmm. is a problem and it's going to get worse if we don't deal with it. Last year, I talked to Moon Choi mm-hmm. at MU, and they ended up completely undoing their DEI programs.
That's right.
Now Missouri State. So, they're, you know, again, it begins to fall in line when they realize and when they have some cover. Like
That's
when
right.
when the Trump administration is exposing this and when the legislature is exposing this and putting pressure on them, I think that's always a good thing. That's another thing. So here's another statement that Governor Kehoe made in his State of the State address that Democrats sit down on. He said, finally, I will say this. This administration will be built on merit. We will not support DEI programs in state government. I will be taking action on this in coming weeks. They sit on that. So again, the antithesis of that is they don't want it to be based on merit.
That's right. And I believe that the DEI programs in general are designed to divide us, right? I've always thought that if you promote someone, if you reward someone based on their gender, based on their race, their religion, their ethnicity, you know, here's what I'll say to you, right? Reverse racism is racism.
Yes. It's discriminatory.
And you and I are more like Dr. King in the aspect that we believe that people should be judged on the content of their character. Yep. And that's what Dr. King preached 60 years ago.
Yes.
And that's what you and I believe today. Doing the opposite of that is racist.
Yes. When you're picking people for positions or employees or whatever it that's might right. be based on skin color or based on the other woke boxes that mm-hmm. they have in place now, gender identity or whatever it might be, then what inevitably happens is you get people that are not capable and are not able to perform the task at hand.
That's
to me,
exactly
it doesn't
right.
matter what a person's skin color is. I want the best person for that job. That's based on merit. And I think we're finally getting back to that. This is something that has crept in ever so quickly, but very subtly in our public school system, in our higher education system, in corporate America, and in state government. And now we're realizing what the outcomes of this is and what it really does. And that is discriminate. And we're saying, no, we're going to end this. We're going to put a stop to this because we don't believe that's the way it should be. We're all created equal under mm-hmm. God, and we need to treat each other that way, not only in our private lives, but government especially. So I was really glad to hear that. Governor Kehoe also talked about DOGE, which I think is, again, a huge thing right now. I've been able to be tasked with that as a chairman of the DOGE committee, the state DOGE committee. There's a lot going on the federal committee right now with that, and Elon Musk is a part
of that.
You're
like a local Elon Musk.
Right.
You're like the Missouri's equivalent to Elon
Except
Musk.
Not nearly as wealthy.
Okay, well, you might be lacking that one
right.
thing.
But
$400 billion
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, just,
right.
you know, a billion here and a billion there. It's fine. But I just wanted to kind of go through that. I thought the State of the State was great. and what Governor Kehoe had to share with what he wanted to accomplish in his administration, and looking forward to working with him. And I will accept that. Like, you know, he says, look, I want to work with you. And as a legislator, I think you would agree. We are saying the same thing. We want to work with the governor's office. We want to work with the Senate, and we want to get good conservative legislation done for this state and make sure that no bad legislation gets across the line.
Yeah, that's, I was explaining to some folks, some fellows that work for me, the most powerful thing you can say to someone is no.
Yes.
And people want to say yes to everything. Oh, no. No can be far more important to say
than yes. Especially in making laws.
That's exactly right.
Because I think you would agree, like our statutes are too, they're too thick as it is.
That's right.
There's too many laws as it is right now.
That's right.
So we need to look at, and that's what the DOGE committee is all about. Like, where can we cut this? Where can we look at where government is not being efficient, which I think there's a lot of places we need to look in that. And ultimately, it's being responsible and accountable to the taxpayers and to the people who sent us here, because that's what public service should be when it comes to the legislature, especially. We represent the people back home. We represent the citizens of the state, and we need to be accountable to them. And I think there's a lot of government programs right now where people are calling in. They're on hold for 4 or 5 hours.
Ridiculous.
They don't get calls back. They can't get any answer to their questions of the things that they need. And that is, it's unacceptable.
That's right. And a lot of that is because, and both Governor Kehoe and President Trump have vowed to change that. So many government workers have been working from home.
Yes.
And that, I think, lends itself to being unproductive.
Yes.
And so, I mean,
I think we're at about 30% still in the state of Missouri.
Yeah.
So I think that's something else we're going to look at.
It's like when I bump into someone, you know, in a store or a restaurant still wearing a mask, and I'm like, well, maybe she's got COVID 2025.
Right.
You know, it's time to get past it, man. Let it go.
Or maybe there's a mental issue.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Especially since now, and I'm just following the science. You remember that term, the science?
Yes, I do.
I think now we know that was all nonsense.
Yes,
the mask thing was all nonsense.
Well, I think if there's anything good that came out of COVID, it's that people had enough of the government getting involved in their business their private lives. And I think that led to this overwhelming win by President Trump in this election.
Mm-hmm. I think that's exactly right.
People said, no, we don't want the government telling us how long we can stay open, or if we can stay open, our church, our business, and telling us that we got to stay home, and telling us we can't interact with our family members at Thanksgiving, you know, or whatever. All the crazy things that happened during that time, people really rejected
it. That's right.
Resoundingly. And I think that's a big part of what led to Trump's win. One last thing I'll ask you before we go. Tell us a little bit about your position, like the pro tem. What do you do? What's entailed with that? What's your experience so far? You know, what do you have to do to get to that kind of position?
So it's an independently elected position within the House. The members of the House elect a speaker pro tem, just the same way they do a speaker, right? And pro tem is a Latin term meaning, I think, like in temporary place of, right? Mm-hmm. Meaning when the speaker's not there, you serve in those duties.
Yeah.
And what the additional duties you're given, much like a lieutenant governor or a vice president, right, are largely determined on whether your relationship with the speaker.
Yeah.
You know, there's no secret. You've always heard rumors that different members of leadership in whatever party don't necessarily get along. It's once again, it's just like a new day here in Jefferson City, because my relationship with John Patterson, the speaker, is fantastic.
Yeah.
And so
Floor leader, Alex Riley.
Fantastic, right? I think some of the egos that once existed don't exist anymore.
Hey,
everybody
like
kind of works together, and we talk daily, and we kind of just kind of play the parts, and he's given me a whole lot of things to do, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's great. No, I think you've been great for that. You know, you've got a great personality. People enjoy that as well. And that's a big part of, like, you know, the moving parts to especially the House and how large it is with 163 members, 111 Republicans, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a certain value that I think is necessary when it comes to people that can keep the morale up, people that will listen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes members, they just want somebody to listen.
That's exactly
and they just
right.
want leadership to listen. And, you know, the speaker is extremely busy. The floor leader is extremely busy. The pro tem sometimes acts as kind of that, like, moderator.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, hey, listen, I'll listen to what you're, you know, and I'll take that back to leadership because you're in those leadership meetings.
Right.
And I think there's a value of that to the members. And I'm sure we're all better for that. So just want to say thank you for coming on, Chad. We enjoy it. And talk a little bit about what's going on in Jefferson City. I think you're right. There's a lot of good positive things happening. If we can keep the train on the tracks and keep that moving throughout the rest of session. So,
of course.
Right.
Always a pleasure.
The dark side of the building, which is what I call the Senate, is not nearly as easy to navigate and is the one that ends up being kind of the powder keg a lot of times for session. But I'm cautiously optimistic. I do think they're in a better place. I do think there are people who are more serious-minded that really do want to get good things done. And work with others to do that.
I think that's accurate.
I'm looking forward to it, and we'll see what happens the rest of the session.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. With that, everybody, you know where to go. You can go to Apple Podcasts. You can go over to Spotify. Find us there. Leave a 5-star review. That really helps us to promote the show. And then we'll catch you this weekend. Sayonara.